Hi, I'm Harry Reeder, senior pastor at Briarwood Presbyterian Church. Well, it's good to be with you for another edition of Conversations with Harry and Bruce, our supplemental and substitutionary ministry until we're able to fully open up our Sunday evening worship safely and appropriately and effectively. But, once we get started on that, we are certainly going to kind of keep some element of this. So thank you for sending in the questions, and we'll be getting to those next week. But this is a kind of another special edition because we are now walking into our every member commitment season, and we've been focused upon it now for a couple of weeks. Now, we're looking at this matter of personal stewardship. That is, how do I steward the time that God has given to me? How do I steward the talents, physical talents and spiritual talents that God has given to me? And how do I steward the treasures, the resources, the finances with God's tithe and our offerings? How do I do that? And then as we spend time taking inventory and praying, we have a Lord's Day where we commit that. And that, of course, is coming up next Sunday. It's going to be a wonderful time of commitment and consecration. But one of the things I've tried to do coming out of our National Missions Conference, walking into these three sermons on the stewardship that God has given to our church. God's given His church a mission. He's given us our message, and He's given us our ministries, and your personal stewardship is your engagement, your involvement, and you being God's instrument to resource us being able together to get that mission done. I think of it like a sports team. I'll just use football American style for a minute, where we all have different gifts and abilities, but we give our time for the practice and for the game. We give our talents, whether it's a quarterback or a left tackle or whatever. And we bring our talents to it, and then we bring our resources. We're ready to resource. We've got skin in the game. Now, part of our resourcing is God's tithe, and that's His. That's not really our resource. That's our faithfulness to bring the resource He entrusted to us. Then our offerings, like thank offerings and love offerings and faith promise offerings, and those offerings go with it. So what you know from our sermons on the stewardship of mission, message, and ministry, all of your commitments of your time, talents, and treasure under the leadership of our elders and deacons will be marshaled in that direction. We'll try to equip you and disciple you so that together with the resources, we're able to move forward with our time, our talents, and our treasures. We're able to move forward to get this mission done until Jesus comes again, and to get this mission done with faithfulness to the message, and to get this mission done with the ministries that He has ordained. So, this is going to be fun the next few minutes. We've got one of our elders who's got a great instructive and inspirational challenge to give to you. 4 points that I think you're going to find helpful. And then another taking a look at what happens nationally in our ministries. And then of course, entering into the opportunity of this coming Sunday to make our commitments. So enjoy this. This will be very enjoyable, hopefully encouraging, and I know it'll be instructive and, by God's grace, inspirational. Bruce, why don't you lead us into it?
Well, thank you, Pastor. One of the things we look forward to each year at the stewardship season is the opportunity to gather together as a congregation, come to our convocation and hear from our stewardship education committee testimony shared with us, and then an opportunity to hear from our different ministry partners and how the Lord is blessing them and how our investment in their ministry is honoring Him. And we get just a taste of some of the fruit of that investment. We get the opportunity to do that now as we listen to Mark Edwards and then to these ministry partners and then our stewardship education chairman.
Well, good morning. I'm very excited to be here today during our every member commitment season and talk about stewardship. It's something that I've had a lifelong interest in. When I first got out of college, someone recommended a book called Master Your Money, written by Ron Blue. And ever since I read that book, I've kind of developed a lifelong interest in stewardship and its principles and kind of what that means to my family and trying to see God's will in that area. I've also had the opportunity to teach on the subject, and One of the things I quickly learned was that it's difficult to talk about financial stewardship and not also include the other aspects of stewardship, which are our talent and our time. So certainly godly stewardship encompasses all of these things. And I wish I could tell you that I had mastered all of the biblical truths that we'll be talking about today. But I think the reality is that, you know, we're all on a journey here. It's part of our sanctification. And, you know, we all are just seeking God's will in this area. And I think certainly that's his plan for us to seek him. This year's theme is from the stewardship committee. It's to be found faithful. And that comes from the verse in 1 Corinthians 4:2. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. So we all want to be found faithful, but we all have to also figure out exactly what that means, as we are not all created with the same opportunities or gifting, but we all are accountable. And Scripture really doesn't provide any easy three-step process for defining really what it means to be found faithful, but it does provide some very clear biblical themes that we can use to for handling money and possessions. And these, I've kind of identified four themes I want to cover today. Maybe you can also think about them as sort of four cornerstones that, if we apply to our lives, can hopefully get us on the right path. So the first one of those is that godly stewardship is a response to the two greatest commandments, which we all know are to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. So, and I think giving, at least in part, accomplishes both of these. First, as it relates to God, you know, giving is a form of worship. It expresses our love and reverence for God, and we're submitting to his authority, and in doing so, we are it helps us free us from the love of money and the other pitfalls associated with money. And then as it relates to loving others, you know, some type of giving is always required. I love the quote that says, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. And when we give financially to the church, missionaries or those in need, we're answering the call to love others as ourselves. The second cornerstone that I wanted to mention was that we are most like God when we are giving. God is a giver. He gave us this life, this earth, really everything that we have. He gives us an opportunity to spend eternity with him. And, you know, we can do a lot of things as Christians. We read our Bibles, we pray, all different types of worship. But we're most like him when we are giving. And as Christians, obviously, it should be our desire to be like him. So the pursuit of godliness really includes living with a giving mindset in all aspects of giving, certainly. Annie Johnson Flint, who was stricken with severe health issues, wrote many hymns and poems. One was He Giveth More Grace. And I just want to read the last stanza of that great hymn. His love has no limits, His grace has no measure, His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. God is a giver. The third theme or cornerstone that I wanted to cover today is that we should live like stewards instead of owners. You know, a steward is a person who cares or manages something for someone else. So how do we develop the mindset and character of a godly steward? I want to five principles, I think, that address that. And the first and the most important is just recognizing that God owns it all and that we're just managing the resources for him. And so as such, we view our possessions as a responsibility and not a right. And that we're accountable for those things. And the more that we truly believe that, the easier it is to be a godly steward. You know, on the other hand, an owner looks at his possession strictly as his, and that he can manage any way he sees fit, and that his accountability really is only to himself. The second one is that stewards are prayerful about spending decisions and have a desire to see God's will with their finances. owners really are just focused on their own agenda. The third one is that stewards are available. They live their lives in such a way that makes them financially available. And the enemy doesn't want us to be available. He wants us to be in bondage so that we will be ineffective for God's kingdom. The fourth is, for a godly steward, financial freedom comes when we accept and practice biblical principles with our finances. Owners view financial freedom from a prosperity mindset. There's nothing wrong with wealth as long as it's a byproduct of being faithful. And lastly, and the fifth one, is that stewards recognize that money is a servant. With owners, money becomes a master. Money is a terrible master, but can be an excellent servant. The fourth theme or cornerstone that I want to address is that we're to live with an eternal perspective with our finances. And I want to read the parable of the rich fool out of Luke 12. It says, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops?' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God.'" So what was the rich man's biggest issue? It wasn't his wealth. It was his lack of an eternal perspective. He could have made eternal investments with his abundance, but he chose to live really in the now, just with a temporal mindset. He didn't balance saving and giving. He basically just saved everything. Now, giving is the ultimate long-term investment because the returns compound forever. So in order for us to live with an eternal perspective, you know, we must value what God values, to care about the things that move God. You know, through Jesus' example, it's pretty clear what God cares about, you know, advancing the gospel and caring for the vulnerable. Now, and I think a great way to think strategically about giving is to build an eternity portfolio, which would be balanced in evangelism, discipleship, and mercy. And I think giving to our church is a great foundation for that, building an eternity portfolio. And that brings us to why we're here today, is to talk about the every member commitment. You know, our family has always made it a practice to tithe to our local church, and then we make offerings beyond our tithe as God leads us. You know, tithing was part of the Old Covenant, mentioned several places in the Old Testament. And while the New Testament doesn't address it specifically as a command, it clearly addresses the themes of stewardship and giving, as we've been talking about already. You know, Jesus spoke extensively about money and possession. 16 of his 38 parables were on the topic. And I think he obviously knew that finances would challenge us maybe as much as anything else in our lives. While tithing is not necessarily a New Testament command, it's certainly considered a godly practice. And it's a great foundational way to live with a steward's mindset, because it incorporates returning our first fruits to the Lord and doing it on a regular basis. You know, there's many New Testament examples of giving beyond the tithe, but not short of it. So tithing really shouldn't be viewed as the ceiling for giving, but really the entry point. You know, for the church, tithing is the financial fuel that supports everything that we do here, the ministry that we do in word and in deed, evangelism, discipleship, and mercy. So, but also, another way maybe to think about it is the call to be found faithful is not just a call to us individually. It's also a call to the church. And we as leaders, you know, we also must continue to be found faithful in the way that we steward your tithes and offerings, as the church has done for over half a century. So kind of the bottom line, I think, is that tithing really isn't that hard when we have the mindset of a steward, and that we also know that the church is going to be found faithful as stewards of those gifts. So in closing, I want to point to a story from the New Testament. And this was at the point where Peter, James, and John were about to leave their lives as fishermen and follow Jesus full time and become fishers of men. So after, you know the story of the miraculous catch. So after they'd been out fishing all night and not successful, hadn't caught anything, Jesus in the early morning hours called to them from the shore and suggested that they cast their nets on the other side of the boat into deeper water. And you know the rest of the story. They caught so many fish, they couldn't get them all back in the boat. So I have a question. What does deeper water look like for you? Is it better financial stewardship in your lives? Or maybe you feel like that's already a strength. So it could be something else. Maybe it's better using the talents that God has given you. Or maybe it's being more available with your time. I think the reality is that we all have deeper water out there for us if we're willing to trust God as the fishermen did in becoming fishers of men.
Erica was my last patient of the day, so I had a little time left at the end. And I asked her, you know, Erica, when the time comes, many years from now, I hope, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? And she kind of hesitated and just said, I hope so. I think so. And she said, I've never done any terrible things like kill anybody. And I tried to do good things. And I said, well, I asked her, well, why did Jesus die? And with a puzzled look, she said, I don't know. And then I had the wonderful opportunity of sharing with her the great news of a God that loves her immeasurably and gave everything, including his life, so that she could be with him forever. And it was a beautiful thing to watch. I could just see her eyes because she had a mask on, but see the joy and the excitement, see God working in her heart to revealing that truth to her as I spoke the gospel to her. At the end, as I got close to the end, she said she'd never heard anything like this, and I explained to her that it was through a simple prayer of faith that she could receive this gift that Jesus is offering her. And did she want to pray that prayer? And she looked at me like I was crazy. Why wouldn't somebody want to receive this prayer, this gift? So she prayed that prayer, and it was a privilege and blessing to see this precious sister in Christ born into the kingdom of God that day.
This is Cedric Moore with Urban Young Life. And things are going well in the middle of a pandemic. I just want to thank you that our ministry is still going on. We're going door to door, reaching out during this time since schools are closed, and so much of our ministry takes place inside of schools. We're putting on our mask and finding ways to be the hands and feet of Christ during this time and still doing discipleship. Some online, a lot of it is still taking place face to face or in a social distance way. One of the updates I wanted to share is currently this year we have 4 graduates that are alumni now with Young Life that are going through training, and I'm so excited to see them growing into stepping into going back into their community to disciple others. Thank you for what you do, and I'm so grateful for your support.
We are Mark and Bree Wiersma, and we are part of the Legacy Sunday School community. We moved to our neighborhood about 5 years ago and began intentionally praying that the Lord would use us in our neighborhood and with our neighbors, and through going to the park and the library and just walking around, we got to meet a lot of our neighbors, and we started having cookouts in the backyard, and we really had the opportunity to build relationships and love and serve our neighbors.
We've been part of a weekly small group with Briarwood since moving to Birmingham over about 2 years ago. Really felt the Lord calling us to use that weekly group to share Christ with our neighbors, and those existing couples that were part of that group really shared that same vision to intentionally share with unbelievers. And so we invited those couples that we had built relationships with, and over the last year and a half have really seen one couple in particular remain faithful to that group and have seen God really work in their lives. And it's really been a blessing to be challenged weekly to boldly share, and a challenge for our own walks personally to really walk with the Lord. And so that's been a tremendous blessing. And wanted to thank you and are grateful for Jason Ellerby's support through the Legacy community, and are grateful to really be a part of this ministry and for your continued prayers.
Hey, y'all. My name is Mary Grace, and I am in ninth grade, a freshman at Vestavia Hills High School. And so Anna Claire and I had the opportunity to start First Priority at Vestavia. And basically what First Priority is just an opportunity for us to just share the gospel, and the theme is every last one. So like spreading the gospel to every last student at our school.
Yeah, and we had our first meeting on March 10th. And we really didn't know what to expect. We had the leadership team together. We had the study who was speaking for our first one, even though First Priority is supposed to be a student-led kind of organization. But from then on, we were going to lead it, but the first one was Debbie-led. And so we didn't know what to expect, but we had, like, over, like, 70 or 80 students. It was so many people come to First Priority, and they were all, like, really excited because Miss Debbie was able to pump them up. And so we started it Tuesday, and that Friday was when school got canceled. So we were really unsure, like, how are we going to continue First Priority? Because, you know, it was such a blessing just to see how the students were encouraged by that meeting. And so we decided, we were seeing how Briarwood Youth Group was using Zoom to meet with students and, you know, talk over certain things. You know, every Wednesday night and Sunday night, they would have a Zoom meeting. So we're going to try that for First Priority, and it was actually a really good turnout, and we can still worship and have fun games and still share a message. So and that was one of the things that we took from Briarwood.
Growing up in just a Christian family in Green Bay, Briarwood my whole life, and just like going to BYG every single week, we just like, I always learned such good truths and how we're supposed to live for the Lord. And that was kind of, that's been our lessons the past couple weeks, is how we can live and how we are supposed to share the gospel and living for Christ, not just, like Anna Claire said, not just reading his word. So basically just going to BYG has just really taught me, and it has really helped me grow so much closer to the Lord. And that has made me want to share the gospel with other people and do it boldly.
Dear friends of Briarwood, please pray for these people, and I am very thankful for the partnership of Briarwood Presbyterian Church with Emmanuel Upstate and with people that recently came to Christ, and especially for people that are the only believer in their homes and in their families.
Hi, my name is Carolina Phillips. My grandmother and I decided we were going to look for a church just to give us community and find something to do. So we walked into Briarwood one day, and we really liked it, and I got connected with the college ministry here, where I met a few people like Olivia Sims and Genevieve. And Genevieve began discipling me during that time. I had never read the Bible before, and she began to read it with me and guiding me along with it. And I started like learning even more about God than I had in Savannah. Jenna told me that I had to give my life to Christ. Like, I couldn't just do the work and not put my best efforts forward. Like, I had to, like, give my life to Christ. And so, with her helping me, I eventually found God, and I've been so happy ever since. Like, I found joy in my life because of that.
Good afternoon. We are Brent and Mary Adamson from Kearney, Nebraska. And we have enjoyed worshiping with you for about 6 months there in Briarwood, virtually. And it's been a great blessing to us to share in your music and your preaching and the exposition of God's Word. And we thank you for the opportunity and the technology that you've made available so that we can enjoy it.
I'm sure many or most of you have found these last months of being more homebound because of COVID has been really challenging and potentially pretty discouraging emotionally. And I cannot tell you how many days Brent and I have come home in the evening and said, let's tune into Briarwood tonight. I find it such an encouraging time to be drawn back into the Word of God and to join other believers in a city that we've never even visited, but we feel such a deep connection with. I think that's been one of the silver linings to this whole COVID season. I hope it's an encouragement to you to know that these two people in the middle of the country have been really encouraged by being a part of your church family virtually. So God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you.
I'd like to share one story with you about Aubrey. Aubrey was in our 4K class last year, and they were so surprised and delighted to find out that Aubrey was going to be a big sister. And she was thrilled. It was Christmas all day, every day, because she was so excited about having her very own live baby. Well, in June, baby brother arrived, and Aubrey's mother called Aubrey's teacher from last year about 2 months into the summer, and she said, "Miss Daniels, you'll never believe what Aubrey did." And Miss Daniels was thinking, "Well, I'm not sure I want to know what Aubrey did with her baby brother." The mom said, "I heard Aubrey talking, and I went to her door, and she was on her knees by the crib talking to her baby brother. And I could tell she was telling him a story, but I didn't know what it was until the very end, when she raised her little arm and said, 'Moses said, Pharaoh, let my people go.' And then she quietly said to her baby brother, 'I know lots of Bible stories, and I'm going to tell you every single one.'"
Hello, Briarwood. We're Alonza and Vanessa Jones, founders of Biblical Marriage Institute. First, we just want to say thank you for standing with Biblical Marriage Institute. Hosea 4:6 says, "People are destroyed for lack of knowledge." In America, 1 million marriages end in divorce every year. Many of those marriages could have been saved if the couples had knowledge of how to build and maintain a biblical marriage.
BMI helps prevent marital and family breakdown through biblical education and mentoring. Just this year, we mentored two couples who were on the brink of a divorce. By God's grace, these marriages were saved. One couple told us, "We feel like we have a new marriage. It's better than it's ever been." We thank God for what He's done for these couples and others like them.
Success stories like these are possible because of your prayers and your support. So again, thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, it's great to be here for a moment to update you and give you some highlights of our ministry here at Harvest USA. A pastor called me and said, "Can you come and speak to a group of men?" This was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, which is just about an hour from Philly. And when I got to the place they asked me to come, I saw about 50 horse and buggies. This was Amish country. And I sat there thinking, this is going to be a God thing. And when I went inside, I saw about 60 men sitting around a table in their white shirts and black pants and all their black hats stacked in a corner. And they said to me, "John, pornography and homosexuality has gotten into our community, and we don't know what to do." Now, I was amazed, not because of that, but because they were asking the help of an Englishman. That's what they call us, outsiders, for help. And so God has just enabled us to really step in some ways, help this broken community, which is a very sexy broken community, understand more about the gospel. So we thank you for all this. We could not do any of this, our 17-member staff, without your investment in what we do here at Harvest USA. And so we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts.
Hi, Briarwood. My name is Matt Owens, and we are here at Christ the Redeemer Quincy, a church that the Lord has launched here in Quincy, Massachusetts. We actually launched on March 1st in this space, and then 2 weeks later, the pandemic shut things down. We met virtually or remotely for nearly 4 months, but now I'm thankful to say we're back. We're meeting again. The Lord's word is being proclaimed here. I would ask that you pray for us, pray for the Lord's, for God's word as it's proclaimed in this space. But not only that, that God's word, that the gospel would send us out into the communities around us to proclaim His word to our neighbors and our neighborhoods.
Hey, Briarwood, just want to share with you all what's going on at Urban Hope Community Church through your prayers and your support with our ministry there in Fairfield. We've been going through this pandemic with revival prayer. That's been a theme. We've been continuously doing prayer meetings once a month, praying for revival in the city of Fairfield and in our nation as well. And we've just seen amazing work by the Lord through that time. Particularly, I can think of two young men who have really come on strong in regards to their desire, their hunger to know the Lord and to spread that amongst their peers in the community. And it's amongst the demographic of young men that we are pursuing here in Fairfield. And it's just been really amazing to see their passion and their desire to be at almost every event that we offer during this time right now. They're just soaking up the word and soaking up what's taking place here because of their desire to just grow in the Lord. And they're spreading that amongst their peers. And that's just been really exciting to see them come on fire, ultimately, for the Lord. And so we've just continued to push forward through this pandemic. Many people are attending our services on Sundays. That's given us a desire to continue to push forth with the work. It gets hard, it gets tiring, but the Lord sustains us and continues to allow us to endure through this. And we just have a lot of excitement going on. We're really in a season and period of growth within our church through the various ministries that we have right now. And a lot of this is due to the prayers and support of the greater kingdom, and Briarwood is included in that, and we are very thankful for your prayers and support and ask that you would continue to do that. So we thank you for that.
Second Half's ministry is really all about coming alongside men to help them have an impact in God's kingdom. One of the areas of focus for us, based on surveys from men, was to get involved with meaningful service in the community. So in the early stages of the COVID-19 pandemic, food banks in our community were reporting about a 10 times uptick in the request for food from needy families. Our game plan was to call on men in our database and mobilize them to be drivers and donors. So about 22 men volunteered to drive, and we had about 60 families who responded to requests to donate. And these men collected those non-perishables and delivered them to one of these ministries on a designated day. This gives you a glimpse about what our ministry is involved in doing, and we're very excited what God is going to do in the future.
I'm Christian Terrell. My husband is Nathan, and we have three children, 4, 2, and 3 months old. We have benefited from the nursery ministry in so many ways. This spring, my daughter, who is 4, came in from the swings and was so excited to tell us that she had asked Jesus to take her yucky heart and make it clean. What a very, very special moment for us. And certainly we appreciate the Briarwood staff in the nursery coming alongside of us and teaching these truths to our children so that we have moments like this at this very young age. I am so grateful for all that they do, for the staff, for the way that they prepare their curriculum for Sunday mornings. Everything is so thoughtful. They really are coming alongside the parents to prepare these kids and grow them to love the Lord and to know His Word.
Just want to say hello to our friends at Briarwood Presbyterian Church and thank you so much for supporting the work at Christ Presbyterian in Auburn, Alabama. We planted 2 years ago, and this last summer we were able to become a self-governing church in the PCA. I want to tell you a little bit about what the Lord has done in individual hearts. I want to tell you about a young girl named Isabel who came to us in August. Isabel had never been in a church in her entire life. Her father is Muslim. Her mother has a cultural Christianity. And Isabel came into our church and she said, "I'm sorry, I'm so awkward. I've never been to church before." Well, she met my wife at the front door and got seated. And Isabel has been back with us each and every week. And she has learned more and more about Christ and more about the church. I believe she was probably converted this summer before she came to us. But even now, Isabel has jumped right into our Inquirers class that meets at my house on Sunday evenings. And she is investing in that Inquirers class and hoping to join our church later on this fall. Your gift to Christ Pres and your investment in us since the very beginning has allowed us to reach out to young girls like Isabel and to invite them into the church and welcome them into what it means to be a worshiping body of believers. So thank you so much, and I want to just tell you how much we appreciate your kind gift to us and your support. God bless.
My name is Jeff Flannery, and I'm the stewardship chairman for the diaconate here at Briarwood Church. I hope you were as encouraged as I was to hear about the different ministries going on around Birmingham and around the world to further the gospel of Christ. Thank you to Mark Edwards for his message on stewardship. I love the line, "We are most like Christ when we are giving." Not just financial giving, but giving of our time and talents also. To do this, we must be available. If there is anything making you or your family unavailable to do kingdom work, I encourage you during this every member commitment season to reevaluate your family's time and priorities. He also said that stewards are prayerful about their spending decisions. We are all not born with the same opportunities and giftings, but we are all accountable. So I encourage you to prayerfully consider how you and your family can build your kingdom portfolio. During this next week, I encourage you to spend time in the Word and in prayer so that you may be aware of the Holy Spirit's leading in your life. I encourage you to pray about your pledge to the church and how you can get involved. This next Sunday, November 8th, is Pledge Sunday, where the Broward family will submit their pledges for the 2021 year. Sunday, November 15th, will be Canvas Sunday, where the leaders of the church will lovingly encourage participation in the every member commitment. Due to increased infection control measures, we are offering multiple ways for you to submit your pledge. You can turn in your card next Sunday at the worship service. You can mail your card to the church accounting office at 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. You can email your pledge to emcresponse@briarwood.org. Again, that's emcresponse@briarwood.org. And you can also submit it online at briarwood.org/EMC. And there's also a link on the homepage. In closing, no matter how hard we try, we will never be a perfect steward. But the good news is for Christians is that there was a perfect steward who is found perfectly faithful. And he loved his master with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that was Jesus. And he offers us his righteousness. And this should make us want to praise, worship, and serve him. We become good stewards not to gain his approval, but because we have his approval. The year 2020 has been a difficult year for many. But no matter your circumstance, I pray that you, your family, and Briarwood Church would be found faithful so that for God's glory, our church can continue to equip Christians to worship God and to reach Birmingham, to reach the world for Christ.